Okay, hallelujah. Let's get started. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have today to share the word together,
yes,
to
Lord.
Come before your throne with joy. Father, we know that you prepared an abundance for us today. So, Father, we open our hearts to receive, and we ask that your living word be planted in the solid soil of our hearts, and that it bring forth an abundant harvest, that you teach us how to do our part to bring that harvest forth.
Amen.
Thank you for the word today, Father. We are so appreciative for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. We are appreciative to the Father. He has set a table before his people, and all they have to do is come and sit down and partake of what he's prepared for all mankind, past, present, and future.
Amen.
So today, we're going to talk about the abiding word.
Amen.
If we do not have the word abiding as a seed in our own lives, it cannot bring forth harvest. A seed has to abide.
Amen.
If a farmer sows a seed, then that seed has to abide in that ground for a certain period of time before it can ever bring forth anything. The seed of the living word is the same way. It has to abide in our hearts. So today we're going to talk about the abiding word. The abiding word. So remember, we can read the word, we can believe the word, we can accept it as truth itself, we can even believe that it's absolute truth, but not allow the word to abide, and we'll have no harvest.
That's right.
So many of us expect just to read the Bible, just to speak the word, and then automatically something's going to happen. Well, yes and no. That's one of them things. Yes, something happens immediately. The word starts to germinate. It starts to do what it's supposed to do to bring forth that life. But it has to be in the right soil. And then it has to remain there. It has to be protected. It has to be nourished. If it's aborted or removed, it can never bring forth harvest. So whenever you're believing for something, whenever you do what you're supposed to do, you go to the Word, you read the Word, you accept what it says, you're not done yet. So many of us stop right there and we'll walk away expecting something to happen, expecting to have manifestation. And the seed cannot bring manifestation if it does not abide. And if it abides, that means I protect it. It means I confess it continuously with thanksgiving. It means I watch over that word. It means I water it. It means I continue to do something with that word from now, from the time it's planted on to the harvest time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I harvest it. You know, a farmer can do all of those things. He can plant the seed, it can be in the ground, it can germinate, he can watch over it, hoe it, and keep it cultivated. He can see to it that it's watered and it comes up, and then here comes the harvest, and he gets excited, and then he doesn't bring the harvest in. You know what it means when they say that my corn has turned to seed?
Yeah.
It means it's no longer edible.
Yeah.
There is a point where that corn can be received, and it's a point where it's seed, where it's no longer edible. A lot of things are that way. If we plant and do everything but don't harvest it, whose fault is that? Is that God's fault?
No.
No. So we have to continuously watch over the word we sow, take care of it, and then bring it to harvest and harvest it in the proper time. That's our job. God takes care of the seed. He brings forth the harvest. He does his part. So we said last week, the life is in the seed. That seed is our containers of life. It's absolute life. It will do its job if we do ours. It's not God's fault if we don't have a harvest. It's our fault.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
We also control the amount of the harvest. God doesn't. I thought about that one time. God's seed has 100% capacity. It will bring forth 100%. So will the seed in the natural. It has the potential of bringing its full capacity forth. But the ingredients have to be there. The water has to be there. The nourishment has to be there. Everything has to be in its place to bring forth 100%.
Mm-hmm.
To the degree that I take care of that seed, that determines my harvest. If I don't spend any time with it, it may or may not bring a little bit. But if I take care of it, I watch over it, I do everything. I'm concentrating on this seed. It's important to me. The more I care for it, the more I nourish it, the more I watch over it and keep it, the more harvest I have. That's what Jesus was talking about when he was talking about some bringing forth 30, some 60, some 100. It's up to the person how much harvest you have, not
right.
God.
Mm-hmm.
God expects 100%. He created the Word to bring forth 100%. He created it with absolute life. There is no reason his seed cannot bring forth 100% harvest if we do our part.
That's right.
But we're lazy, aren't we?
Yeah.
We don't watch over it.
And we start off with a bang.
Yeah. So, once a believer has the seed of the living Word planted in his heart and activated by the faith of that believer, that seed will bring forth life.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it is prevented from abiding. That's the
unless
only,
what?
Unless it's prevented from abiding or living or remaining in the soil. Abide means to remain. That's what it means.
Uncle Rudy.
Huh?
Tell Uncle Rudy's story.
Yeah, well, okay, I'll go ahead. Well, let me finish these comments and then remind me of that. Okay, so the only way that seed will not bring forth harvest is if it's prevented from abiding. God will not prevent it from abiding.
Right.
He's trying to get you to sow it.
Mm.
Our enemy Satan does everything that he can to prevent the living Word of God from abiding in the heart of the believer. The only chance that Satan has is to deceive the believer into making a choice to not allow the living Word to abide in the believer's heart. If Satan is unable to deceive the believer, if he can't deceive the believer into doubting that word or into not doing anything with it, if he can deceive the believer into that, the living, abiding word in the heart of the believer will come to manifestation if he cannot do that. If Satan cannot deceive the believer, the living Word of God in the heart of the believer will come to manifestation or come to pass.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Satan cannot stop the living Word from coming to pass any other way.
That's right.
It is absolutely 100% impossible for Satan, for all the demons of hell gathered together at one time, to prevent the Word from coming to pass. It has absolute life. It's absolute truth, as we talked about. The seed contains absolute life. It will bring forth absolute life because it is absolute life. God and His Word are one. So God's Word is absolute life because God is absolute life. Satan cannot stop it. It's absolutely impossible for Satan to stop the Word unless he can deceive the believer to stopping it. The only one in all creation that's ever existed, the only one that can stop God's Word from coming to pass, is the believer himself.
That's right.
Yeah.
The believer has to believe or he doubts.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to the believer.
Sometimes it's just simply a lack of faith.
That's exactly what it is.
To believe.
We don't trust it. We don't believe it. Then that word's not going to come to pass. It's not going to happen. We expect God to just do it. And He's expecting us to do it.
That's right.
He's waiting on us. If we don't believe, that's how important it is. That's why it's so vital that we get into God's Word. That's why we have to know what it says about this circumstance. If we know what it says and we grab a hold of that word and we believed it, it's been so, and that word will come to pass. But not something that's not correct. I have to know what it says. I have to get in the Bible and look. Then I have to speak it. As I speak it, I'm sowing the seed. It's planted. Satan cannot stop it. As long as I stay. If I stop, the seed stops. Now, people don't like to hear that. They don't like to know that it's not that God's not a vending machine where you put a quarter in and pull a candy bar out. They believe God's that way. And He's not. He's expecting us. He applies all of His grace that He can, especially to the new believer, because they don't know. He does everything He can to get that seed to come to pass, but the believer is involved. That's why we are called believers. We have to believe. It's that important. So remember, if you actually do your part, if you actually take that word and believe it, you believe it, and you keep your believer locked on that word, it's going to happen in the proper amount of time. Every seed has a certain amount of time it requires in the ground that is not visible. There's a certain amount of time required depending on the type of seed it is.
Different for different seeds.
Different for different seeds. So it depends on what seed it is.
Can I share a little thing that
happened
in our house one time when we were just kids? Mom had fixed a big platter full of corn on the cob for supper. That's what we were going to have. We got together from the garden, you know, just delicious. And my dad and mom both, it took time. They said, "Now we want to share something with you. Look, count and see how many seeds are on your cob." And of course we'd start counting, you know, we wouldn't get them all counted. And my dad would say, "Now listen, if we hadn't have cooked it, and just let it be, then we could have taken these off one at a time and we could have planted them in the ground. And each seed would come up when God was ready for it to come up, and a stalk, corn stalk, would grow."
Yep.
And you remember how tall they were in the garden? We'd say, "Yeah, we remember." And then my brother said, "And you know what? Some of those had 3 or 4 cobs on them."
Yeah.
"For each seed that was planted." Talk about a multiplication of seeds.
That's exactly what it works. And the word works that way. The word works exactly like that. But in Mark 4 and in Luke also, he talks about the sower sows the seed. And he talks about the stony ground, the ground with the thorns, and then the good ground. He lays all that out. And he talks about the depth of the seed. If it's sown on stony ground, it lays on top of the rock and it just has a little bit of soil, so it doesn't bring forth much. It's the same seed, 4 different types of ground, 4 different types of people. And
well,
each...
Isn't it true that when you plant the seed, you, like you said, people expect it to happen right away?
They do.
But it happens in God's time.
There's a process.
Mm-hmm. And that's why we've got to be patient.
That's why it's part of it. Patience
seeds take a long time to germinate.
Yeah. It depends on the seed, but it also depends on the depth of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the ones planted on rocks, it sprouted up right away because it was no depth in the soil. But it died right away, too. It never got to harvest because there was no soil.
Yeah.
And it's the same way if on the good ground where you plant it deep, well, it's going to take longer to come up, but it will.
Yeah.
It's an absolute. It will come up. Absolute means it cannot be changed. It's going to happen unless it's dug up. And now to Mom's story. She goes to talk about it. Now, there are some things that are really, really give detail or emphasizes something. And I guess that's the word I want to use. But anyways, you can look at this detail of something, something that happens, and they can show another principle over here. By looking at a lot, movies are that way to me. I see things in movies that
apply elsewhere.
I see apply elsewhere. And this is one of them right here.
Mom's uncle. And he wanted to plant some stuff in the garden because he just had those itchy garden fingers like we get in the springtime, you know. And he did. Mom gave him a part of the garden, but then he brought some bulbs. They were tuberous begonias that come with a little kind of a bulb.
Uh-huh.
And they got planted in a pot. Okay. Well, the seed came up and the garden was doing good, but he was not seeing results of these bulbs in this pot. So he only came down about once a week or every other week. And what he did was pull up those bulbs to see if they had any roots. And he did this every time.
Mm.
So he was constantly pulling these things out of the ground to see if they were growing. And my mom kept telling him, you got to leave them alone. If you keep pulling them up, you'll mess them up. You know, maybe they'll grow, maybe they won't. But and he overwatered them, so they nearly drowned it anyway. But he did. He would pull something up to see how the root looked.
It's not going to happen. You can't push
it. Just leave it alone.
It has to have its duration in the ground. It has to have this time frame required. The process starts immediately.
Yeah.
As soon as you declare that word and you apply your faith to it, you believe it.
Mm-hmm.
You trust God. You trust that word. It starts immediately. As soon as that seed in the natural has any type of activation, water or soil, it starts immediately. You can't see it, but it started. And if you leave it alone, it will come to harvest in the time required for that seed based on its soil and what's done to the seed and how it's protected. But immediately, life is there.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As far as the Word of God, you got this scenario that you're working on, this case that you're working on, this thing you're believing for, whether it's for yourself or someone else. You got this, you've taken the word, you found the word, you believe the word, you put it in the ground. You have to continue with that word. You're not done. You continue. Not again asking for it, because you've already taken care of that. Now it's thanksgiving, because you're believing with patience. You're believing with patience for the end result or the harvest that you're expecting. Faith and patience and hope work together to bring forth the harvest. Now, what is hope? We talked about it in the main service sometime back, 4 weeks in a row, or 3 weeks, and then skip one in a week. Hope is actually earnest expectation.
Amen.
It means it will happen.
Well, when you see a pregnant lady and you say, "So you're going to have a baby?" She goes, "Well, I hope so." Well,
no,
not exactly.
You're going to have
a
baby.
She's expecting to have a baby.
Yeah, earnest expectation. So remember that. Anything you believe for is that way. But you have to have the seed. You're not going to, if you don't get into the Word, and you're planting, say, you're wanting to plant, for an example, healing, or for example, an apple seed. You're wanting apples. Well, can you plant a plum seed and get an apple?
No.
Well, if you don't get into the Bible to find that apple or what you're looking for, and you're specific with that, you're not going to get that. You'll get a weed instead. So it's your job to get in the Bible. It's your job to believe. It's your job to protect it. God's put them all out there. They're there waiting. He doesn't have to go get some or create some. It's already there.
Amen.
The majority of the things that we're believing for are already present. He doesn't create them. They're already there.
Mm-hmm.
We just receive them. They're transferred from a spiritual realm to the natural realm. And that's by the seed of the Word. It's absolute.
And if you want to just find out a little bit of what seeds God has available, just look in the Bible.
It's worth
sure,
it. For.
The whole thing.
He
that's
even gave us
is.
An instruction manual.
Big sack of seed.
That's what it is. Yeah. So remember that. If you don't do your part, it won't harvest. No harvest. Or not the harvest you want.
Yeah.
depending on what you do. The other one is Satan can't stop it. You have to know that. He can't stop that. No matter what he does, he cannot stop. You have to stop it. If you don't stop it, you're going to have a harvest. And it works the other way around with his stuff.
Yeah.
If you accept the seed that he's given you to plant, which are all weeds, if you accept that, and you, with your faith, start believing those weeds are going to come up, well, what am I going to do? I'm going to lose my job. You start believing that. That's coming to pass.
Exactly.
You don't want that to come to pass, but he's using your faith to get his project done.
Doubt and unbelief.
Yes, those are seeds.
But if you plant those,
what you going to get?
It's like going out and with poison spray and spraying your garden.
That's exactly what you're doing. Now, they'll come up. Doubt and unbelief will come up.
Yep.
But not what you wanted. Mm-hmm. You plant both of them.
Yep.
Satan gives you a sack of seed. God gives you a sack of seed. You're choosing which one you want. Now, you can plant God's seed, but then over here, plant Satan's seeds.
Like the enemy that
God's seed won't come up.
And so tears into the wheat.
That's exactly what happens. And whose fault is that? It's not God, and it's really not Satan's. Long term it is, because he gave you the seed.
Mm-hmm.
But it's your fault because you accepted it and planted it. And you planted it when you started doubting, and you started not trusting, and you started working with unforgiveness and strife and all these other things. When you started doing that, you're planting his seed. And you're believing it.
Yep.
So you are the one that determines the seed in your garden. You're the one that determines your harvest.
The Lord told me that himself.
Did he?
He said, the words that I speak are seeds.
Yes.
And they go out and they land in my path. And he said, I don't have another path for your life. And I am not taking you around them. And he said, you'll go out there. They're laying there like little landmines. And I'll be going along and step on one of those things and wonder what happened.
You sowed the seed.
I sowed the bad seed.
Yeah.
Now I want to sow good seed. Step on one of those landmines and get a big blessing. You know?
Now
what I do when I speak.
Yeah. Now what can you do about that? All of us have sowed the wrong thing.
Yeah.
I don't care how good you are and how careful you are. You are going to wind up sowing some wrong seed somewhere in your life. And like I said, seed will come up.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes up, what do you do about that? Well, Eldon mentioned weed killer. Well, when you take the living word and you speak it over that, it kills that seed. It kills those weeds. The two can't abide together. The weed will take over the good one, but the good one can take over the weed.
If you
deal with it properly. So you start speaking the word out of there. You bind that thing. You start binding and loosing. I bind this bad seed. I loose the good seed. You know, you are able to control that and overcome those things you've done. We are responsible to sow the seed. The seed is the word. We choose what seed we sow. God provided the seed. But Satan also provided seed. We choose which one. And we do the sowing. God does not sow it. We do. We sow the seed of the word. The other point is, Satan cannot stop the word. It's impossible. If I take the living, absolute truth of God's word, because God and his word are one, life is in that word. His life. And it will bring forth absolute life because it's his word. I take his word and sow it. I'm not done yet. If I protect it, take care of it, keep my faith on it, keep my patience working, have expectation of a result here, earnest expectation, I see it and believe that result's going to happen, that will happen unless I prevent it from happening. Well, I'm not going to do that. You will if you start doubting. Mm-hmm. You will prevent that seed from coming to pass. Your enemy is doubt. Mm-hmm. Your enemy is a lack of trust. That's what Satan uses. He has to pull you away.
Doubt and fear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if he cannot get you to accept those, if he cannot get you into doubt and unbelief, he can't stop it. It's going to happen.
That's right.
You have to stop it from happening. How many of us want to pray for something, believe for something, trust for something, and then not have it come to pass, and then doubt it? Mm-hmm. And it'd be our fault that it doesn't come to pass. You know, nobody wants that. But that's exactly what happens. He has to deceive, Satan has to deceive you. That's the only way he can do anything. Into moving away, into stopping, to not do anything, to stop, to not believe, to doubt. Those are the things he uses. Oh, I prayed that 50 times now already. It's not happened yet. I know God in his time, but I don't think I need to do anything more. God will choose when it happens. No, he won't. He did. He determined the harvest time and the what had to happen in the process. You aborted the process when you did that. When doubt comes, you fight it. One minister said, doubt the doubt. You gotta learn how to doubt your doubts. That's what he said. And I believe that. It was Charles Capps. I believe that. That's what you do. That old doubt comes, oh yes, don't you? You don't really believe that. You know how many people you've seen that it didn't work for? That has nothing to do with what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Nothing at all to do with it. So, yeah, but the Word says. That's how Jesus defeated Satan himself. For it is written. Yeah. For it is written. What is Jesus saying? This is absolute truth. Cannot be changed. For it is written. For it is written. You know, Satan has to bow to that Word if you believe
absolutely.
It. He has to bow. He can't. He hasn't got a choice. He will not stay where that word is believed.
That's right.
But he can tell that you're going to start not believing it, and he'll start working with that. But when you won't stop believing it, you keep going right back to that same word. You keep going right back and reestablishing your faith in it. He has to leave. The word says he'll flee. And he will. So, remember those things. We're responsible.
Amen.
Not God. Mm-hmm. God's done his part. It's finished. John 15:7. We've got to get one scripture in here. And this goes right along with what I've been saying. We'll have to continue this next week. John 15:7. Further on, we're going to take John 15. Because there's so much there. It's a series by itself. But later on in this series, we'll go through John 15. But right now, we're going to focus on John 15:7 because we're talking about the abiding word. Amplified Classic. If, and that's exactly everything I've said today, you could say one word and just with that word say everything I said all morning. If. If is conditional. It means I'm involved. There's something I have to do. It's choice. If you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and is a conjunction word. Mm-hmm. So I can live vitally united to him and not do this, what follows. Two different things. If you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you and continue to live in your hearts. Ask whatever you will, and it will be done for you. So what's the condition? That says everything I said today. Mm-hmm. I got to live in him. I got to be born again. I got to have a connection, be joined to him. I got to have life with him. And I got to go to his words, receive those words, and keep those words in me. If I do that, then I can ask whatever I will, and it shall be done for you. Why? Because I'm asking what God wants me to ask. I'm abiding united to Him, and His words abide vitally united to me, so my will and His are the same. So I'm asking what He desires. So if He desires it, what do you think is going to happen? We're united as one here. Mm-hmm. We're united on this word. God's focused on that word. He's calling it forth. I'm focused on that word. I'm calling it forth. What do you think is going to happen? That word's going to take place.
Amen.
That's what He says here. I'm involved. To abide, the Greek word used here is meno, M-E-N-O. That's the Greek word used for abide. And it means to stay in a given place, state, or expectancy. To abide, continue, dwell, endure, be present, remain, stand, tarry for. That's what that word means. I'm going to read it again. You can use any of those and be accurate with the word abide as it's used in this scripture. The word is meno, M-E-N-O. It means to stay in a given place, to stay on that word. It means a state, or I'm not going to change. I'm going to stay believing this word. Or expectancy. I'm expecting it. I'm not going to move from expecting the harvest. This word's going to bring forth harvest. This word's going to bring forth harvest. This word's going to bring forth harvest. Every time I'm closer to the harvest. It means to abide or to live, to remain there, to continue, to dwell, to endure. To abide would mean to endure, to not change.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
My brother David, you know, who's a minister down in Houston, Missouri, he's absolutely a living example of this truth. 18 years ago, he was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, given 18 months to 2 years to live. Mm-hmm. 18 years ago. Now, he still has to go to the doctors. He goes down to this cancer doctor that handles his kind of cancer in New Orleans. He's obedient to do all of the things that his doctors ask him to do. But he is literally a testimony of the living word.
Hallelujah.
Everywhere he goes in his church, he's ministered in 40 nations for 40 years. He does not go out and minister worldwide anymore. But it's just so amazing.
Yes.
The word works.
Even as they're in their home in Houston, Missouri, they have absolutely someone coming to meet their every need. And of course, that's God.
That's God.
And what do I hear from Him? Praise.
Amen.
Thanksgiving.
Yes.
It's just words of faith, trusting the Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Encouraging people.
Yes.
He's encouraging people like He's never even had a cold.
Well, that's what you do. He's not focused on the problem. He's focused on the answer.
Amen.
And that answer's flowing through Him to others. That's
Thank
the way,
you.
That's what Jesus is talking about here. The word if means maybe. It means I don't believe it. Or I believe it. There's a choice here involved. If you believe in me and my words abide in you.
Yeah.
If. So when you start, instead of asking, God, why aren't you doing something about this? You got to ask the other way around. Mm-hmm. Why am I not doing something about this?
Isn't that the truth?
Mm-hmm.
Because God did His part, and He will carry forth whatever you do. He'll back it.
Amen. You know,
praise God.
I was diagnosed with lymphatic leukemia, which is blood cancer. And so this was about 18 months ago. And so I went to the doctor. And they'd take blood tests all the time, you know, and he'd say, well, your readings are staying pretty normal.
Praise God.
I go back the next time and you say, well, Elder, I don't need to see you next week. Let's make it 3 weeks.
Uh-huh.
Now, I just saw him this week. He said, Elder, he said, I've got some good news for you. He says, and here's what the lab said. And we went through all of the what's normal, what's up, what's down, et cetera, et cetera, what's okay. He says, we're not going to start any treatment. He said, and he said, are you okay with 3 months? I said, yeah.
Sure
you
are.
Sure.
The word is
3 months.
The word is working mightily in you, Elder.
Amen.
I confess that every day over you.
And I tell you what, I just say thank you, Lord, that by your stripes I was healed.
Yes,
amen.
And I'm just walking.
And I just believe it.
And I'm going to keep walking in
that. Hallelujah.
When any doubt comes up, you speak that word out.
Amen.
That's what you do. You battle doubt.
And your best bet is to get your friends and your neighbors and your family to do it too.
Exactly.
You don't want to see them and say, oh, you don't want that.
Well, how are you today, Eldon? You're blessed. You don't really want to know how bad I am, do you?
Every morning, you know what I do?
Yeah.
Raise my hands. I say, this is the day the Lord has made.
Amen. Glory to God.
And in all things, give thanks.
Yes.
For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning Eldon Gordon.
Yes, exactly right. You start your day and then throughout the day.
Every day.
Amen. We rejoice. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for the anointing on this word. We thank you, Father, for teaching us and helping us to choose the right things to do at the right time.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we just give you praise for it. We know that your word says that you'll teach us how to choose,
Lord.
And we ask you to do that. We thank you for the services that lie ahead, Father. We receive the living word today, and we thank you that all will be done in proper order. We also thank you for the healing that Brother Eldon give praise for today. We thank you for
thank
that.
You,
we know
Lord.
That it's not going to just be 3 months next time. It'll be 6 months.
Amen.
And then almost, hey, you're clean. You're healed.
Hallelujah.
That's what's going to happen. The word is working mightily in us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen.